It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're studying in the book of John, and we're in chapter 16. And up to this point, up to verse 7, we've seen how that Jesus is preparing the people around him. He's preparing them for the time when he would go back to the Father in heaven. And he's told them not to get so excited and so discouraged that they quit, that they stop serving him. Now, that doesn't mean that they would be lost, but that simply means that they would not keep serving the Lord at that time. They would be so discouraged. And he says, don't do that, because I am leaving. And he goes on in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. It's necessary, he says, there's a necessary thing happening, and if it doesn't happen, if I don't go to the cross, and he didn't say that here, he didn't say going to the cross, he said, if I don't go away, and of course that meant he was going to the cross. But he was telling them, if this doesn't happen, then something else is not going to happen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient, it's necessary for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, notice, I will send him unto you. Now, of course, he's talking here of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would come because of the crucifixion of the Lord, because he was going away. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And he said this on more than one occasion, preparing these people for when he would go back to be with the Heavenly Father. And he prepares us today, letting us know that we do have a Comforter with us. In John 17, we're going to see the actual Lord's Prayer where he said, I'm not praying for these alone, those people that were alive at that time, but he's praying for all people who would believe on him after these people are gone. How would they believe on Jesus after these people were gone? It's through his word. It's through the word that we're studying right now that people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to be a comforter not only to the people I'm speaking to right now, but to everyone who calls upon me and asks me to save them. He says, if I go not away in verse 7, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is not going to come. So therefore, I must go away. Verse 8 says, and when he is come, that's the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, he's going to call to the attention of everybody of their sinful condition, the world, mankind. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all means everybody in this world. Everybody has come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That means that every person in this world is born into sin. Now, let me quickly add, God sends no baby to hell. No baby goes to hell. The person comes to a saving knowledge when they come to that age of accountability, when they realize there's a heaven, there's a hell, and there's a need for salvation. When that young person realizes that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, then that young person has come to the age of accountability. They will either choose Jesus or they'll not choose him. They have made a decision. They made a decision either to follow the Lord, to ask him into their heart, or to reject him. There is no middle ground here. A person, young, old, middle-aged, whatever, male or female, when they get to that point, there is no straddling the fence. A decision must be made once they are made aware of the fact that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They will either accept heaven or they will accept hell. Now, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save everyone who was lost. And the Holy Spirit, according to these verses that we're reading here in verse 8, it says that he's going to tell people they need to be saved. He's going to be the one. Verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. He's going to tell people how to be righteous. That righteousness comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to reprove the world and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, we can look at that in a couple of different ways here. And let me give you another idea. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. He's going to let people know that they're not righteous without Jesus Christ. He's going to tell them that they are sinners and they need to be righteous because there's coming a time of judgment. He's telling them that they've been judged already because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. They don't have to wait to be condemned if they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior because they're condemned already because they've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Verse 9. Well, let's read verse 8 together with verse 9. And when He, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, the Comforter, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me. A person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they know that. There is no one in this world who does not know about sin. You know when you do something wrong, even before you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's what He's getting at here. He's telling us that the person will know when they've done wrong. And you've been in this world long enough, and you know when you do wrong. You don't have to have somebody tell you when you do wrong, because why? God lets you know. The Holy Spirit, even before you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, I believe, reproves you, reproves the world of sin, letting you know that you're a sinner. There's no excuse for not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And might I say, there's no excuse for turning you back on the Lord. No, I didn't say you weren't saved, that you weren't on your way to heaven if you turn your back on the Lord. He doesn't turn His back on you. You're saved. You have eternal life. But why take advantage of the Lord while you're here on this earth? We need to be serving Him because we are on our way to heaven. He gave His life for us that we could be saved and know Him in eternity. Verse 9 says that the Holy Spirit's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on Me. He's going to rebuke, let people know that they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because they're sinful. Verse 10. Let's read three verses together here, starting with verse 8. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Jesus Christ wants to know that He's the righteous one, that He's righteous and He's going back to the Heavenly Father. He's going to the Father and you see Me no more, He says. And I remind you, He's preparing these people for His departure. These people saw Him physically. They saw Him. But He says, I'm going back to the Father and the Father is going to receive Me. I'm righteous. I'm going there because I'm righteous. Well, we study and we know that Jesus is all holy, that there was never anything that entered into Him in His life that said He was a sinner. Because you see, He was not born of man. He was born of a woman. The Bible says that sin came by one man. Wherefore, as the sin came into this world by one man, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that Adam sinned, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But Jesus Christ was not born of a man. He was born of a virgin. He came through the lineage that we read of in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. He came through the lineage that was to send the seed, the righteous seed, and that's Jesus Christ, the righteous seed into this world. Jesus Christ would come not to be born of a man. The man did not give Mary what she needed in order to bring forth a child. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, as I've mentioned before. And the Holy Spirit, He is the reason that Jesus came into this world. Mary was the vessel whom God chose to bring Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus Christ was as much man had He never been God, and He was as much God had He never been man. I can't understand all of that, but I know it's true because the Word of God tells me it's true. I take that by faith because God speaks to my heart, and just as the Holy Spirit reproves people of sin, He lets people know about righteousness, that the righteousness of God will never fail you because Jesus is all righteous. He is the one who saves people. He's the one who helps us to understand that without him, no one will see God, the Heavenly Father. And I believe that's another reason that we read these verses of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He's wanting these people to know that they can see him again, not in this life, but in heaven. Verse 11 says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit came, and he's letting people know that the devil is judged, that there's no hope for the devil. He's going to hell and then be cast into the lake of fire, just as those individuals who follow the devil instead of following the Lord. They too will go into the lake of fire, where they'll be tormented forever and forever. The Holy Spirit comes for judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, Jesus says, but ye cannot bear them now. He says, I've told you enough at this time. I have told you what's going to take place. Once again, let me remind you, he's leading these people up to a point where he will be crucified, buried, and resurrected. But at this point, he's letting them know that he's going to die. And that was foremost on his mind at this time, was to comfort these people before the Holy Spirit could come and comfort them further. He said, without me going, you will not be comforted by the Holy Spirit. But if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and he will comfort you. I believe that as these people, as they gathered around the cross of Calvary, and once again, they fled, but in their minds and their hearts, they were gathered there because they knew that Jesus was dying. And I believe that when he gave up the ghost, I believe the Holy Spirit overshadowed these people, and he was there as the comforter. But at the same time, did you ever lose a loved one? People can tell you they feel sorry for you, that they're praying for you, and they want to help you. But the one who can really help is the Holy Spirit of God. And that's who was with these people after the Lord died, because he said, and Jesus cannot lie, he said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And today, if you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Comforter is with you. You may be going through a difficult time. I do not know what's in your life right now, but I do know that you need to depend upon the Lord. If you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you have the Comforter, and you need to go to him in prayer and say, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord, right now. You see, the Holy Spirit is God. And he's willing to comfort anyone who will say, please, I need your help. We've studied this in this chapter, how that we're not to throw in the towel. We get discouraged so many times in this life as Christians. You say Christians get discouraged? Well, if you have to ask that, something's wrong, because I know that everyone gets discouraged at a time or one time or another, because we're all human beings. And especially when we get saved, there's things that come into our lives that we don't understand. But the Holy Spirit is here. Won't you depend upon him to take you through the rough times? Depend upon the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you in this life and help you as a saved person to live your life totally for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, sometimes it's not easy, but the reward of serving him in this life is far more rewarding than serving the devil in this life. Serve God. Serve Jesus Christ. You've never trusted him as Lord and Savior. You need to serve him first by trusting him as your Savior. Ask him to come into your heart and he'll save you today. Ask him. Be serious with him and he'll get serious with you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.